As we're developing our possibility list, we start to get a top 10 list. The top 10 list is actually a result of the possibility list. So as you cultivate the possibilities into suspects, some become interested or curious and respond positively and become prospects. So we list our top 10 prospects, the top 10 people that are interested or curious, or they're responding positively, or that the relationship is really solidifying and developing well. You have to write your top 10 prospects down. Then you take them to your upline, or if you're the upline, you go and look at your downline's top 10 list. And you talk about the best approach, how to call them, what to say, to use the evaluation approach or the referral approach, or maybe the most effective method would be to try a three-way call with your upline. Or maybe the best method is just to get with your sponsor and go over and stop in on them and see them. You really have to know what you're looking for. We're looking for people that are teachable, that are coachable, that are motivated, that are cooperative. Not people that give you a hard time and that are nasty and what I like to call mentally constipated. They're all stopped up with anxiety, fear, apprehension, cynicism, okay, and they're down on life and down on themselves. Let them waddle in their own misery. They're not the ones we want. We want teachable, coachable, motivated, forward-looking people. And there's literally millions of them all over the place hoping to find something, looking to find something. So be willing to dig deep to find a winner. And if you let a new person work their list on their own, well, they're going to recruit downward. We want them to recruit up. They need you and your confidence and your experience and your knowledge to be able to reach up to better people. So we work with our people on their top 10 list to help them get the people that are most successful. Now, I like to go for successful because they're well-connected. If you think about it, those people that are successful or in positions of responsibility or leadership, people listen to them. Now, we're not really trying to get them in. They know a lot more people, and because they're in a position of responsibility or authority or respect, people respect them. People listen to them. So it's much more likely they can lead to the right people. And if we're not trying to actually get them in and just get them to evaluate it because they may know the right people, they almost always will lead to the right people. So spend most of the time with the winners. Remember, 80% of the production is done by 20% of the people. So we want to get the 20% that are the very best. Also, we watch for status changes with people. Things change in people's lives all the time, which creates an opportunity for you to show them how to resolve their conflict or get out of their situation or not to ever have it repeat again. That's when they're the most open-minded. Something happens on their job, something happens in their career, something happens in their personal life, they're being relocated or whatever. Now, when somebody gets into the business, it's extremely important within the first 2 weeks not only to have an answer to what is it, which we'll go into a little bit later, but to have a two-minute commercial, which is a appealing description of what the business is about and why they got in. Really a testimonial of why they become involved in this business. Now, why is this important? Because within 2 weeks of becoming involved in the business, the word starts to get out, especially if they had a trial run or a kickoff. They may not be an expert at answering what is it, but people at work are going to be asking, hey, what's this thing that I hear you got in? Relatives are going to come over. They're going to be at a family event, and people are going to ask them, hey, I hear you're in a new business, or what is this thing that you're doing? What's this new venture that you're in? Or what are these meetings that you're having? Or it might be, you know, at the golf course or some social event, and they're not ready for that. They're going to end up playing 20 questions, and they're going to end up becoming very defensive, and as a result, they set off the wrong impression. They give people preconceived notions, and they set off what I call negative gossip in their warm circle of influence. And they ruin their warm circle of influence. But if they're prepared with a two-minute commercial, they'll set off positive gossip in their warm circle of influence. Now, when we do a two-minute commercial, we never try to recruit them. Huge mistake. Just by using a two-minute commercial, we can put them on their possibility list, and I can show you how you can go back to them at any time. But by having a good two-minute commercial, we are setting up positive positioning to be able to go back and approach them to evaluate the business. and we're setting up positive gossip, which is building curiosity. And people say, what's this thing that John's in? It sounds great. I mean, I don't understand it, but I hear that he's making money, or that he's on his way to doing very, very well, or that the people in that are making a lot of money. And automatically that person becomes a possibility. Now, at any time in the future, I can call him up and mention the fact that he had brought it up while we were at church or bridge club. And I got to thinking, John, maybe you can help me out. You may know some of the right people, and I sure would like you to evaluate it. But let me give you a little example of what happens. You might be at bridge club or at church, and this guy asks you, hey, I, what is this thing that I hear you're doing? I hear you're in some new business or something. And the response might be, well, yeah, John, you know, I've been blessed. I really think I've come across a gold mine. But, you know, what happened was I was looking at people that have been on the job where I work for 45 years, and it's scary. I mean, they end up with a half-pay pension. I thought, how am I going to live on a half-pay pension when I can't even live on full pay? And I began to research it a little bit. And do you realize, this is just an amazing fact, that after 45 years of working, out of every 100 people, only one becomes rich. Four are financially independent, so that's 5% that make it. But five are still working, or half. 28 are dead, and the remaining 62 are just getting by or broke. I mean, they have to depend on somebody else to help them out. Or they might have a little money put away, but it's going to run out before they die. And it's scary. And I began to look into it, and the people that are in the 5% usually are in business for themselves, or they develop what's called a residual income. So I started looking for things that I could get a residual income. And I found this company that does one-to-one marketing, that's setting up something that they call unfranchises. And it's just turned out to be incredible. So at any rate, John, how the kids doing? I changed the subject. And he tells me, I say, you play any golf lately? How's your game? And he might ask again, well, how does this thing work out? John, I don't really have time now, but, you know, hey, I'll see you next week, you know, at the game. And I keep changing the subject, you see. But what we've done is we set up positive gossip, and I resist the temptation to get into 20 questions with them or to try to recruit them. Never try to recruit someone when you're doing the two-minute commercial. You can put them on your possibility list and call them back at any time. So now that we have interested people, possibilities, we can begin the recruiting process. And this is when we actually ask them to sit down and evaluate the business, to come to a meeting or to look at the plan. And we set up an appointment, either show them the plan or bring them to a meeting. Now think about this real carefully. Remember, it's easier to give birth than to revive the dead. So many people are trying to deal with people that just don't want to look, or looked at it and are just stable or waiting people. And they think they're going to build their business by making these people do it. It's much easier to get new people. So how do we begin this process? Well, it all starts out with basic recruiting process, or where we develop sources, which gives us a name list to begin our approaches. And two very simple approaches that a brand new person can use without having a real great answer to what is it, is a video audio approach. You know, Mary, I'd like you to listen to this brief audio. It's about a business I'm involved in, and I'll come back and pick it up tomorrow. And if you like what you hear, I can give you more information. Now, that's a direct approach. Or she could say, Mary, I'd like you to evaluate this business that I've gotten into. It looks like a golden opportunity. I know that you're real busy, but I thought, if nothing else, you may know some of the right people, and you could help me out, and it might mean some money to you, too. The product approach is another fabulous, simple methodology. Get someone excited about the products first by letting them try the products or selling them a product that'll solve a problem for them. And then bringing up the business is much easier. There's no apprehension. And would you like to get a product at retail or wholesale? I mean, you have other people now that you're bringing to me. You ought to make some money on this. Let me show you how it works. You see, a satisfied customer is always one of your best prospects. So let's follow through the process. We develop sources, which gives us a name list. We begin to approach the people to see the presentation, either one-on-one, doing an interview, having a kickoff in our house. Then once they've seen the plan, bring them to the second look, or giving them a video or actually it's better to sit down and watch TV with them with the video, or going through the CD-ROM or giving them one of the CD-ROMs. Now, then they're at the point where there's really no decision. They're just going to decide whether they want the 2 to 3 year plan or 45-year plan and what direction they want to go. Now, if their decision is absolutely no, they may be a customer. There's certainly a product that they'd be interested in. But if it's yes, I want the 2 to 3 year plan, I'm interested, maybe there's things in the way. Maybe timing isn't right, and it's a question of I can't do it right now. Well, certainly you want to get them as a customer. Or maybe there's just a little bit of apprehension. They don't know if it'll really work for them, and you may not even know if they're the right person. So we do a test market, do a trial run. That's what I call giving someone an offer too good to refuse. Let's test market it. Let's try it out. I'll do the talking. We're going to run it up the flagpole to see if some people are interested or know the right people, or some people want the product. And at the end of a couple months, if we have people clamoring to buy the product and 2 to 4 people that want to get in and really do it, you'd be nuts not to get in, and we'd be nuts not to take you on because it's already worked. And through the trial run process, we have people also do a product preview, or we can have people do a Motives Clinic or custom blend, which again leads to people using the product or getting into the business. But usually the trial run then leads us right back to doing presentations and doing the business, and they end up, because we already make it work, deciding yes. Then they sign up, we do the follow-up appointment, and we're on the road to getting them started. So let's talk about a few tips on setting the appointment. You always want to have a positive attitude and be enthusiastic. Critically important. Don't go in there with a bad attitude or mentally constipated or frustrated or angry or down. You know, look in the mirror and smile and say, I feel great. I feel great. I feel great. I feel great. As stupid as it sounds, it works fabulously. Or look in the mirror and say, I am a success and I feel great. Sell the appointment, not the plan. Don't try to sell the plan over the phone. Sell getting together to look at the concept. Keep it brief. The longer you talk, the greater the probability that something will go wrong or that they'll ask the wrong question. You see, and they start to ask questions and say, hey, man, that's a great question, but it requires a one-hour answer. Or, hey, I have some charts and diagrams that explain that perfectly. You know how a picture's worth 1,000 words? I don't want to do 1,000 words right now. Let me show you the charts and the diagrams. So have an answer to what is it, and use the answer that you've written down. You need to have an answer actually on a note card. It's like a crib sheet. Because most of the time when people start out with their first appointments, they're going to be picking up the phone, and that phone weighs 10 tons if they don't know the answer to what is it, because they can just envision what the people are going to say. They're going to ask them, well, what it's about, what is it, and they don't have an answer, so they never pick up the phone and call anyone. But Market America is a home-based business that can give you a substantial second income without affecting your current job or career. I'd like you to evaluate it because you may know the right people. Or the absolute surest way to build a solid foundation to your sales organization is to share this business with your warm market or circle of influence, period. I love the approach that one guy used. Someone says, well, what is it? He says, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm going to come over right away and show it to you. I've known you for 5 years, or I've known you for 10 years. I'm just going to come over and show it to you. And that's always powerful. But that's not always the situation. So you have to have a good answer to what is it that's brief. And if they ask any more questions, say, that's what we're going to be discussing when we get together. Three-way calling is extremely powerful. Everybody should use three-way calling. Simply what we mean is you call the prospect and get your sponsor or upline on the phone with you that's more experienced. Even experienced people do this because there's so much added credibility to it. I still do it today. Dennis Frank still does it today. Elizabeth Weber still does it today. Okay, why? Because it's a technique that's very, very effective. It's one of the tricks that we have in our bag. It's one of the plays that we have in our playbook. And the purpose is simply to set the appointment, not to sell them on the business, but to establish instant curiosity and credibility, to take their pulse. It's an indirect approach. But I'm using somebody else to say, hey, I promise you won't be disappointed. We need to get together. That can add some credibility to what we're going to be talking about. And another key tip is to learn how to leverage your upline's experience and success. This is colossal. You see, when you're brand new, you don't know what to say. And if you act like you're the chief honcho that knows everything, that's this big business person, and you want them to come over and look at your business deal or your business plan, they're going to be asking you all types of questions. So you see, you can cheat. You can write little things down, little answer, but you're going to be using your upline as your scapegoat or as the expert. The call must be short, 1 or 2 minutes. And never tell them anything until you can tell them everything. But sit with your upline and design the correct approach for each person off of your top 10 list. And if need be, get them on with you with a three-way call. But remember, recruiting's a process, not an event. We just don't call somebody up and get them in. It's a process. It involves prospecting, developing possibilities, and cultivating those possibilities in to people that are prospects on your top 10 list that we can recruit, and we are massaging their brains. And then it's a process of getting them to evaluate it because they may know the right people. Then it's a process of following up and answering their questions. And then it's a process that if they chose a 2 to 3 year plan, the only question is, will it work for them and are they right for us? And we're going to find that out by doing a trial run. But we will get some objections, and preparation is 90% of success. So if you really want to be a pro, if you want to increase the probability of having success in setting up meetings in the recruiting process, you have to be prepared. You know, sometimes people say, let me think about it. You know, that's a stalling tactic. And I ask them, well, what are you going to think about? You don't know anything yet. Well, can't you tell me more about it? Yeah, it's about the concept that can solve the problem that you just brought up, the things that you were complaining about. Or that's what we're going to get together to discuss. I'm going to show you some charts and diagrams of the concept. But sometimes preconceived notions, for some reason, come out. And if you're getting that, it's probably because of something that you said in your approach. And you want to focus on that and try to put yourself in their shoes and hear what they're hearing when you speak. And if you're saying something that's triggering the wrong notion, the wrong preconceived idea, the wrong perception, change it. Things like, you might hear things like pyramid, or I have no money or no time, or is it door to door, my spouse doesn't want to do it, etc. Well, if I'm getting these type of things, I can address them right in the approach. And by bringing those things up, that it's doesn't require money, or geez, I know you don't have a lot of time, but this is something that may be able to give you the time. I can eliminate it. I can neutralize it. But really, when they have an objection, it's a question. And what they're saying, what the question really is it real and can I do it? Isn't that really what it comes down to? So when people give us objections when we're making an approach, all they're really asking is it real and can I do it? And they have fear. You see, and fear of failure or fear of losing money or fear of being involved in something that's going to hurt their reputation are the things that prevent people from looking. So what are your areas of concern? You can ask them what their areas of concern are and clarify what it is that they want to think about. Just they say, well, I got to think it over. Well, clarify my own thinking. What is it you want to think about? Or what is it that you're concerned about? And then you can answer it. But the real question is it real and can I do it when you approach them? So on one side of the fulcrum or the scale, you have fear. On the other side of the scale, you have worth. Worth balances fear. So if I was to ask them a question to build worth, such as, hey, if you were bringing in an extra $2,100 a week from this business or another business, what would you do with the money that you earned? I mean, be specific. What would you spend it on? And when they start to tell you, then the fear is offset, you see. And that's what we call the hot button. If we can find their hot button, we're going to be able to overcome their fear. So how do we overcome fear? The first is with knowledge. The best knowledge that they can have is seeing the plan. You can also give them some tapes. You can give them the Lead the Parade tape. You can have them watch a video. And remember, the reasons people object is they're wondering, is it real? And can I do it? And with that knowledge of seeing the plan or listening to the tape or the video, they're going to overcome that fear. The second is worth. By giving worth, through a hot button, it eliminates or offsets the fear. A third method is to agree and then go on. Say, John, I know exactly how you feel. I used to have felt the same way. But then I found out, and then explain what you found out and why what they're worrying about isn't true. And a fourth method, sometimes it works but isn't quite as good, is to just totally ignore it and go on and assume that they're going to see it and sit down with them and show them the program. Let me give you an example. If I contact 10 people and I don't care if they get in or not, as long as they point me in the direction of 5 people they think will do it, and that's a total of 50 people. If some of these people get in, the original 10 will get in too. So it's just a simple matter of getting people to lead by to people by overcoming their objections and getting them to evaluate it because they may know the right people. And remember again, recruiting's a process, not an event. But undoubtedly, the biggest problem people have with prospecting, recruiting, and sponsoring is their own fear of rejection. And so let's eliminate that. The golden rule of rejection is if they say no, they're not rejecting you. They're simply telling you that the timing is bad for them for this opportunity. Okay? I mean, look, if you believe in God, and I hope that most of you believe in God, some God, right? If someone said, well, there is no God, you're crazy, would you be upset? And would you lose your own belief? I know. Okay? That's their problem. You see? So when someone says no to the plan, that isn't a reflection of you or the opportunity. I can't help that they can't see the light. I can't help it if they're mentally constipated. I can't help it if they're mentally dead. That's their problem. Just like somebody rejects the fact that there's a God and you believe in God, that doesn't affect your belief. And they didn't reject you. That's their problem. But if you want to know a shortcut, and probably the only shortcut to recruiting, it's tape recruiting, because it gets more new people recruiting sooner. And really what they're doing, if they use a Lead the Parade tape, for example, with your own franchise, they're putting me in their pocket and actually taking me with them to answer what is it and to help them get the person to see the plan. If they use a video and sit down and watch it with them, most people do one thing very well, and they're very experienced at it. That's watching TV. So anybody new can watch TV. But if you think about it, the business is all about exposure. And you can turn every new person in your organization, even though they don't know the answer to what is it, even though they can't show the plan, into a recruiter or a bird dog to bring the right people back to you, the upline. Or if you're the new person, you can get a lot of exposure and a lot of people interested in order to succeed more quickly by getting people to first base, getting them interested by giving them the tape or watching TV with them with the video, and then bringing them back to the second look or the kickoff to your sponsor. And I actually equate this to running the bases like in baseball with tape recruiting. Let's look at the process. You ask them to listen to the Lead the Parade audio tape, and you get it back in 48 hours and because you have others waiting to listen to it too. Okay? So when you're talking to someone and they complain or they wish and you bring up the business and they start asking questions and you don't have a real good answer to what is it, you simply give them the Lead the Parade tape and tell them, listen, I got to get it back because I have other people waiting to listen to it. So first base is using the recruiting audio, Lead the Parade with your own on franchise. Then after they listen to it, you get back to them and you ask them, what'd you like most about the tape, or what interested you the most? If they say, hey, I haven't listened to it, say, oh, geez, that's too bad. You really must not be looking to get ahead. I have 5 other people waiting to listen to that. I got to get it back. When can I stop by? And they say, well, I still want to listen to it. Well, put it in now, or listen to it on your way to work today, or listen on the way home from work. I'll pick it up. And when they ask questions, you can watch the video with them then, or lend the video and get it back in 48 hours. But always remember, lending the video, there's a chance that something's going to interrupt them. The kids come in, they get a telephone call, the dog does its business on the rug, or there's some calamity or, you know, problem, and they don't get to see the whole thing. So it's better to watch it with them. But when they ask questions, you can watch a video with them or give it to them, and you can use It's About Time, it's about Success, or most importantly, you can use the new CD-ROM that actually has us showing the plan with all the PowerPoints. And when they ask how it works, book an appointment to bring them to the second look. You don't have to answer their question. Say, hey, that's why you got to go to the second look. I want to introduce you to the top people in the area. I'm tied right into them. And you're going to see a full presentation, all the products, and they're going to explain exactly how it works. So now you have somebody to bring to the second look or to bring to the kickoff. Once they're there, you review the one-to-one flip chart with them or the CD-ROM and book a trial run. You also have your upline there that can help you. But most importantly, we sell them a seminar ticket to get their questions answered and learn how this thing works. Now you're at home base, and home base is doing a trial run or a kickoff. And we have a seminar ticket, and as a result of doing a trial run or kickoff, we're going to end up signing them up. Tape recruiting really is a turbocharged system to accelerate growth. It increases exposure. You're getting more people exposed to the program. And just like filling the bean jar or filling the funnel, once we have those possibilities, the recruiting phase of this is increasing exposure so that we get to the people who want to go now. It increases duplication because you have more people that have become involved that are able to recruit sooner or become bird dogs and lead to the people that may be interested and bring them back to you. If each distributor gets 10 to 20 sets of recruiting audio tapes and 2 to 5 sets of videos so that they can follow up with people, how many people are they going to end up bringing back to you? How much exposure is there? And then this eventually is going to lead to where the rubber really meets the pavement in this business. And that's one-on-ones or two-on-ones using the one-to-one presentation and It's About Success video or the CD-ROM that shows the plan. Once we have people interested by being able to go out and show the plan one-to-one or two-on-one or follow up with them one-on-one or two-on-one, we greatly increase the probability of success because it's informal, you're able to connect with them, and a lot of times at a large meeting of like a convention of 20-some thousand people or a leadership school of 10 to 15,000 people, I'll ask the question to the audience, how many people were exposed to the plan the first time and actually got in as a result of a meeting of over 500 people? And no one raises their hands. And then I say, well, what about 100 people? The first time you saw it or were exposed to it was a meeting of 100 people. Well, you might get a few people that raise their hand that were at a large second look and were invited incorrectly. Then I ask, how many people were exposed to the business for the first time at somebody's house at a kickoff meeting? And you'll get about 25% of the people raise their hands. Well, how many people just were in over somebody's house in their living room with just a few people, somebody showing the plan? And you get about another 10, 15%. And then I ask, how many people saw this one-on-one or with just a couple people around a kitchen table informally drawing it out? And the other 60 to 75% of the room raises their hand. Now, if that doesn't tell where the rubber meets the pavement, where it's really happening, I don't know what is. So if you don't know how to do one-on-ones, or you need to get your sponsor to do one-on-ones with you. And what sponsor, what upline, if they had a new distributor come to them and say, man, I have somebody that I want you to show the plan to, will you come with me? Wouldn't it be excited or wouldn't do it? Man, that's what everybody's looking for. So use your upline. Then once we have done one-on-ones, once we've done a two-on-one, think about it. It's easier to go out and see people than it is to get them to go to a meeting. It's easier to stop by their house or their office or meet them for coffee. It's easier to bring your sponsor with you if you're not ready to show the plan because you can team up on them. And when one person forgets something, the other one can add in. Even if you're new at showing the plan, okay, by teaming up with your upline or somebody in your downline, you're double teaming them. And now once you show them the plan, you don't have to convince them. Hey, when you show the plan too well, sometimes it scares people or it makes them feel like this is impossible to do. And they look at you and say, my God, that was unbelievable, but I could never do it. But when they see you copying off your note cards, they say, by golly, I can do this as good as you. But even if they're not convinced, you win because all you got to do is confuse them enough to have to bring them back to your leader in order to get things cleared up. So you bring them. You don't invite them. Notice that bring, B-R-I-N-G, is not spelled I-N-V-I-T-E. You bring two people that you've done one-on-ones, two-on-ones with, or little house meetings, or that you've had listened to the audio tape, or you had a coffee clutch with, and going over the 2-3 versus 45-year plan. You bring two of them in your car to the second look. Okay, and bringing the people to the meeting really is the magic, because they get to see that this company is about people. Companies don't make people successful. People make companies successful. And it's the forward-looking, positive people that make this thing a reality. And they find that they're the type of people that they would be proud to be involved with, that they would be proud to and introduce their friends to. They see a very professional presentation. And most of all, they get unconfused a little bit more. The light bulbs start going off because somebody very good at showing the plan is up there showing it. They get to see a full product display. And they meet other unfranchise owners that are excited and succeeding, and that validates that it works. And they like the people. So why don't we invite people to the meeting? Because generally what happens when you invite someone, a lot of people will invite 5 to 10 or 15 people to a meeting. They're all excited. They say, man, I'm going to have a great meeting tonight. I got all these people coming. And then at 8 o'clock, the door is shut and the presentation begins, and they're sitting there with their tail between their legs, all dejected. I can't understand why they didn't come. I just talked to them today. I've known this guy for 10 years. He said he'd be here. And, you know, they're ready to quit. And every time the door squeaks in the back of the room and somebody comes in, they're turning around looking to see if it's their person. Hey, let me tell you what really happened. It wasn't that these people necessarily weren't interested. They had a hard day at work. This isn't the top priority on their list, the fact that you invited them to go look at something. And they get home and they remember, oh, Bob invited me to go see that thing. And they don't really know what it is. And, you know, they just fought rush hour traffic. They're tired. They got to eat. They got to get showered. Then they envision the directions. They really don't know how to get there. And then they envision or visualize the meeting. And they picture a room full of stuffed shirts that are going to try to huckster them into something. And they say, man, I really don't feel like going to this thing. I'm just going to tell them that my dog had diarrhea, or, you know, Aunt Tilly had an ingrown toenail. I mean, I've heard everything. But let's roll the film back a little bit. Let's suppose they get home and they remember, geez, John's going to be over here to pick me up in an hour for that thing he wants me to go to. I got to get ready. So they jump in the shower and, you know, they get dressed, they eat, and you knock on the door and you open the door. There they are. You don't got to wonder where they are. You can reach out and touch them. Okay. And even if they've forgotten, aren't ready, say, hey, man, let's go. Come on, get your jacket on. I'm here. And you throw them in the car. You don't have to wonder where they are. Now, every once in a while, someone will say, hey, well, I want to drive. I want to drive myself, which doesn't really make any sense because they're wasting gas and don't really know their way there, and they're going to walk into a room full of strangers. So I always tell them, I'd like you to go with me so you don't walk into a room full of strangers, and I can introduce you to everyone. But if they do say that, I say, hey, you want to drive? Fabulous. I'll come over to your house, and you drive me. And once in a blue moon, they'll turn out all the lights and be hiding under the bed. I realize that happens sometimes. It doesn't go perfectly. But I'll tell you how to solve that one. Drive around the block a few laps. You'll catch them every time. And then knock on the door and bring them to the meeting. But now that I have them in my car, on the way to the meeting, I can warm them up. And I can start massaging their brain. And I always like to pick up two people. I know sometimes logistically that may be impossible because somebody's on the other side of town, but it's the perfect play. I mean, it's the model that I'm working toward. And one of the reasons that I like to do that is not only because I'm more efficient and have two people with me, but I know human nature. By having that second person with me, each of them realize, hey, I'm not the only sucker. Now, I'm being facetious, but I also know human nature. Everybody's a little apprehensive, and it increases their comfort level. And now I can work them mentally. I tell them, hey, I'm really glad you guys are going with me, and I really appreciate you coming out to evaluate this thing. But if you're not interested, no hard feelings, because I really only have one position open anyway. But now that I have them there, it's beautiful. They sit up in the front row with me. I like to get up front. And as they're going through the program, I'm nodding. I kind of nudge them and say, geez, you know, that 45-year plan sure is terrible. And by the end of the night, they're all agreeing. And they put the marker down. they're sold. I mean, by the time I got them there, I was introducing them to other people that they might identify with, and they already had a warm, fuzzy feeling. Then we went through the plan. We were all kind of agreeing. When the marker's put down at the end of the meeting, they're almost already in mentally. But here's the most beautiful thing of all. When that marker's put down and the presentation's over, they have no way to get home. So we have to go have coffee and do the meeting after the meeting. And I can bring my sponsor or whatever. But undoubtedly, the key to recruiting is having the answer to what is it. You think about it. We do all types of things to learn this business. We go to seminars. We go to basic fives. We go to second looks. We go to product briefings. We go to new distributor trainings. We go to ECCT trainings. We do a lot of things, a lot of business functions, but sometimes and most often people miss the most fundamental thing of all, and that is learning how to talk to people about the opportunity, practicing the answer to what is it. And you know, people don't really need approaches in order to prospect, recruit, and sponsor. I can give you the most sophisticated, slick approaches in the world, and you could write them down, and then practice the script. The problem is when you go to use them on Mary or John or somebody that you know, they don't have the script and they answer wrong and they mess it all up. But you know what? Regardless of what you say to someone, the approach doesn't matter. They're always going to come back and ask you, well, what do you do or what is it or how does it work? So you see, we don't really need approaches. I could use something as stupid as, hey man, you want to make some more money? And that's just as effective as some long, sophisticated, slick approach. Because in either case, they're still going to ask, what is it? What's it about? How does it work? What do you do? So we need to be prepared with the answer. And you see, when someone isn't prepared with that answer and doesn't have their answer to what is it, they're going to get caught off guard. They're going to get beat up mentally. They're going to get 20 questions, and they're going to end up having a bad experience. Isn't it funny how hard we work to get people in the business? I mean, we talk to a lot of people. We bring them to meetings. We follow up. We have coffee with them. And finally, you have someone that says, man, this is it. This is great. I want to do it. You finally have a beautiful go now. And what do? You take them out and you throw them overboard into a pool of sharks to get eaten alive. He doesn't even know how to answer what is it. How's he going to go get some people? That's like putting somebody in a football game that doesn't know how to block and tackle, or someone in a basketball game that can't dribble or lay up, or putting somebody in an orchestra that can't even play the scales. We want to do that. They need to know some certain fundamentals. Would you put somebody out on a golf course? Would someone go play golf before they practice driving and putting? They're not going to have any fun, and they're not going to do very well. So isn't it funny that we work so hard to get people in the business, but then we throw them out there into a pool of sharks to get eaten alive because they don't have the answer to what is it? When they ask people to look at it, or they try to get people, those people beat them up mentally. And then you can't understand why they disappear. Hey, it's almost funny, isn't it? Don't you understand that we have to stop when we have somebody that's interested and give them some fundamental training first? And one of the very critical things they must have is for them to have an answer to what is it. And think about it. When they go to do their first meeting, how are they going to invite most of those people? The vast majority of them, they're going to pick up the phone and call them. And when they go to lift that receiver and they start anticipating what the person is going to say or visualizing what the person is going to say, that receiver becomes 10 tons and they just can't get it off the hook because they know that they don't know how to answer what is it. Or maybe the other type of person is the impetuous type that doesn't really think about it, and they pick up the phone and they just call somebody. And once they get them on the phone and ask them to come over and take a look at this opportunity, they start asking them, what is it? And they start playing 20 questions and they start getting defensive and they beat them up mentally. And boy, they say, I don't want to do that again. And then you can't understand why you have a no-show. Or worse than that, why this person that you worked so hard to get into the business that was excited no longer is excited and disappears. A lot of times they'll quit mentally right then. So isn't it silly that we forge forward without taking the necessary preparatory steps to do the basic five well? Well, later on, After you have a good answer, what is it? It becomes the basis or the theme for your discussion with someone, for your dialogue with someone. But everybody has to get that answer to what is it down on a note card. Why? Because the difference between success and failure is so simple. The individual who succeeds simply did what the individual who failed didn't do. And everything in the basic five, whether it's being done or not, has to be measurable. We have to be able to measure it. And if I can measure it, then I can monitor whether it's being done. And if it's not being done, I can adjust. Or if it's being done incorrectly, I can adjust by coaching or for myself, by disciplining myself and doing it. And then I can control the result. And we know that if people don't have an answer to what is it or don't know how to answer what is it, they're not going to be successful in prospecting, recruiting, and sponsoring, and therefore they're not going to be successful in the business. So it's critically important. So I want to see it on a note card. Do you have it on a note card? Now, the best answer is the answer that they develop for themselves. It's got to sound like them. It's got to be natural. So I ask people, what are the things that excite you about the business? And we also learn how to think in themes. You see, you have the unfranchised versus franchise theme. You have the one-to-one marketing versus mass customization theme. You have the residual income theme. You have the product brokerage theme. You have the e-commerce internet theme. You have the 45-year plan versus 2 to 3 year plan theme. You have the OPC theme. You have the product theme. I remember one time a girl was on the Utopia Moving Up seminar, and she was so uncomfortable with giving this answer because she was so far out of her comfort zone. She actually broke down crying. I said, wait a minute, honey. Stop for a minute. What is it that turns you on about this business? What excites you about this business? And this lady went on and on about how she discovered OPC3 and she had this degenerative disease and how it reversed it. And then she had other friends that she knew that had the same result, and her doctor found out about it. And before she knew it, other people wanted the product, and she had to go find out where to get it. And she found out about the unfranchise opportunity, and she became involved. And now it looks like she's not going to have to work anymore. And she always wanted to spend more time with her kids. And she went on and on and on. I said, honey, your answer. And you know, that lady went on to break 2 pen levels within a 6-month period because she became confident in her answer. And my point's real simple. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's not what you say, it's the confidence you say it with. It has to be your answer. So we need to work on our answer. We need to practice. But later on, our answer becomes a serve in a volley. And when I serve it, I know where they're going to be able to hit it back. So we anticipate what the other person is thinking. We put ourselves in their shoes and learn how to anticipate what they're thinking by what I say. So my serve is going to set up an answer. If I can anticipate their answer, I can be ready to hit it back and handle their answer or their response and get the tie down or get the meeting. And we should be practicing this. We should be practicing it all the time. And if my answer, my serve, is soliciting the wrong response, then I need to think hard about changing what I'm saying because it's giving them the wrong preconceived notion or it's soliciting the wrong response. But a key element of becoming efficient at this component, prospecting, recruiting, and sponsoring of the basic five, is to get to the point where we're fluent at Market America. Our objective is eventually to become fluent at speaking Market America. And if you think about it, it really is a language of its own. It has a vernacular or a vocabulary of its own. It's a concept of its own. And we have to get to the point where we're very comfortable talking about it. And if you learn how to talk in themes, and you know the themes, it doesn't matter where somebody goes, you can talk about it very, very naturally. The most important thing that we can learn today is that we need to practice. We practice on our spouse or our significant others. We practice on our sponsor. We practice on relatives. In fact, I always tell people that I would never try to sponsor a relative. Now, that may not be your case, but quite often they are the most difficult because they think that they know everything. They think you couldn't possibly do anything, so they give you a hard time. The point is that we want to practice our answer to what is it and then learn how to practice the volley or the dialogue so that we become fluent at Market America. But it all begins with having an answer to what is it on a note card. Let me give you just a few examples of answers that become great serves in a dialogue or great answers in the beginning when someone is asking questions. Here's my answer, my favorite answer. Market America is an 8-year-old publicly traded product brokerage and one-to-one marketing company. And what we do is set up unfranchises, which have all the systems and advantages of franchising, but we eliminate the franchise fees and royalties. Each unfranchise owner manages a team of customer managers who collect data on what people want, which is fed into the company's huge database. Then the company finds what the customers want and delivers it to them. And this type of marketing is a wave of the future, and it's called one-to-one marketing and mass customization. And we teach people how to make money doing this. Do you think it's something that you'd be interested in or you'd like to learn more about? And if they ask any more questions, see, I can just talk intelligently to them. I can refer to the best-selling book, The One-to-One Future, or Joe Pine's book, Mass Customization, or I can talk about franchising versus unfranchising and the advantages of unfranchising. So you see, I'm talking in themes at that point. It doesn't matter where they lead. I know more about it than them, and I'm just educating them. I love Lauren's answer. She says it's the darndest thing that I've ever seen. They say, well, what do you mean by that? She says, I've never seen something so simple that so many people are making money at. And they ask, well, how does it work? She says, well, I have some charts and diagrams that show how it works that I can get together with you and explain it. Or I can give you a little 28-minute tape that'll give you a snapshot of how it works. And if you have questions, I can get your questions answered. Which would you prefer? I love Frank Kiefer's answer. You know, people ask him, well, what is it? He says, well, I own a chain of unfranchises. And they say, well, what's that? He said, you've never heard of an unfranchise? And they say, no. I said, well, why do you want to know? Boy, he kind of puts the ball in their court, and they have to tell him why they want to know about it. Do they want more? Are they looking for a business? And he's qualifying them. I love Elizabeth Weber. She's like a human vacuum cleaner. You know, she goes through a restaurant or she goes out, she just cleans the place out. And when she's talking to people and they ask her what she does, she tells them, well, I teach people how to make $2,100 a week. In fact, you may be very good for my business and I'm going to be expanding in this area. I don't know if you qualify, but why don't you give me your card or your name and number and I'll get back to you. I love the Steve Harris technique where he gets them to complain and then he feeds the pain. And they give them all the information he needs. And then he says, you know, I have a concept that might be able to solve that for you. When can we get together for a cup of coffee so I can discuss the concept with you? Or Keith Doyle's approach. When someone asks him, well, what do you do or what's it about? He tells them, well, you know how. And then he uses whatever he wants. It may be, you know how most people work their whole life and end up broke? Well, what I do is show people over a 2 to 3 year period how to work a plan for their own financial success so that they don't have to be in that situation. Or you know how most people have arthritis or sports injuries or degenerative diseases as they get older? Well, what I do is show people something that they can take and do that eliminates that. I mean, there's 100 different permutations. You can go any way you want with it. The important thing is, though, that the best answer is your answer, and you need to practice the answer. One of the best things that anybody can do, and that if you're new, it's the best thing that you can do right now, and that is to book yourself into a prospecting and recruiting workshop. Order a prospecting and recruiting workbook and listen to the tape. Get your upline to hold one for your group and a coring in your house. Why go on running around to second looks and to seminars and meetings and trying to merchandise product when you can't do the very most fundamental thing that's going to grow the business? And that's to talk fluently about what the business is. And you need to be in a prospecting and recruiting workshop because we practice in there. And when you practice it, you become more confident, you become more productive. And you as an upline should look at each little new group in your organization. If you haven't done one of these lately at a local seminar, every time you have a blossoming group of new people, put the brakes on. Instead of having everybody running around like chickens with their head cut off, going nowhere, empower them. Teach them how to block and tackle in this game. Teach them how to dribble and lay up in this game. Teach them how to play the scales and the analogy of playing a musical instrument. Teach them how to become proficient at speaking fluent market America. Practice the dialogue. Practice the answer to what is it by booking a prospecting and recruiting workshop in their home. Because it takes them through the process. It forces them to anticipate what people are going to say. It forces them to work on their answer. It gives them new ideas. It gets them to practice, and their confidence level goes way up. And one of the greatest ways to control the situation or control the outcome in a dialogue is when someone starts asking a lot of questions, or if we've impressed them and they say, well, geez, that's nice, but they don't ask to see it. You can ask them, is this something that you'd like to learn more about? And they say yes, give them the Lead the Parade tape, powerful tool. Or if they start asking a lot of questions and someone's relatively new, they can tell them, I'm relatively new at this, but I'm tied right in with the right people, but I just happen to have a tape, a 28-minute cassette tape that'll give you a snapshot of how it works. One thing that people need to learn is when in the volley, when we give our answer and they hit it back and we give an answer, sometimes the ball hangs up. It was a great answer. They have no wrong preconceived notions, but they're a little bit, they're impressed, but they're not asking you to look at it. They think it's, well, that's great for you, but what does that have to do with me? And you can pull them back in by saying, is that something that you'd like to learn more about? So when it's hanging out there, there's two ways that I can bring closure to it and prevent the 20-question routine from developing. One is to tell a person, listen, I have a little 28-minute tape that'll give you a snapshot of how it works. I don't have time to explain it all right here, and they can give them the tape. And even for somebody new that isn't real confident with their answer to what is it or the volley, can use that technique successfully over and over and over again. And they're really utilizing me to answer what is it. And if you listen to that tape again, you'll see it eliminates any preconceived notions that are wrong, and it really positions things so that they would be foolish not to look at it because they may know the right people. So it's a very, very effective tool. But the other thing one can do at any time is what I call the referral switch. They can just switch on this little switch if the conversation's going on and on, or if the ball's hanging up in the air and nobody can bring it down to closure where they want to take a look at it. And that's simply by saying, geez, you know, maybe you can help me out. Someone in your position or somebody that lives in the area that you do or does what you do might really be able to help me out because you may know the right people. Now, I realize that you're very busy or that you may not be interested or that you may or may not be interested, but if nothing else, you may know the right people. Now, I realize you're not going to give me any names without knowing more about it. That's why I'd like to get together with you for a cup of coffee so that you can evaluate it. If you can think of some people that fit the bill, it could mean six figures to them, and it could mean a substantial amount of money to you, too. Or it could be mutually profitable. So a few key points there is that I'm eliminating the fear and the resistance of me trying to get them in. I'm getting them to take a look at it because for whatever reason I establish, with something about them puts them in the position to be able to lead me to the right people. Therefore, I want them to evaluate it. But I realize they're not going to evaluate it without knowing more about it. It's a very important line. And that's why I want to get together with them to show them the charts and the diagrams. If they ask more questions, I can give them the Lead the Parade tape again. So we need to practice this technique. And in practicing, one's answer should become their answer, should become very natural. It should sound like them. A lot of people have answers that sound canned. They sound like somebody else wrote them and they're reading them. And a way to overcome that, one technique that we should practice, is to break up the answer that they have into single sentences and then pause and wait for the next question. It's almost always the next line or a subsequent line in their answer. So when someone says, well, what is it? Instead of just regurgitating or puking on them, say, well, it's Market America. Have you ever heard of it? And if they say no, say, well, I'm not surprised, but you will be hearing about it because it's sweeping the country. Well, what do they do? Well, Market America is an 8-year-old publicly traded product brokerage and one-to-one marketing company. And they said, well, what does it do? Well, what we do is we set up on franchises, which have all the systems and advantages of franchising, but we eliminate the franchise fees and royalties. And we have on franchise, each on franchise owner manages a team of customer managers who collect data on what people want and is fed into the company's database. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, what do you sell? Well, then the company finds out what the customer wants and we deliver it to them. So we really sell whatever people want. And this type of marketing is the wave of the future, and it's called one-to-one marketing and mass customization. And we teach people how to make money doing this. Do you think that this would be something you'd be interested in learning more about? So you see, we can break the answer up simply by giving one line at a time, and then they come back with another question, which is the next line, and it sounds like a dialogue or a conversation rather than some memorized script. But the one fundamental thing that you have to get out of this is that our top priority has to be practicing. Think about it. If someone wants to get good at golf, they got to practice. They got to practice driving. They got to practice using the irons. They got to practice putting. And if they don't, they'll never get good. And music. One has to practice the scales. They have to practice each piece until it becomes natural. In sports, any sport, we have to practice the fundamentals of the sport. And if someone was going to learn how to fly, they're going to have to go through years of practicing. If we're going to ski, if we want to learn how to ski, you don't go right up the double black diamond and go down it. You have to start out on the bunny slope and then green slopes and blue slopes, and you learn the techniques and you practice until you get the technique down. Think about a surgeon. When I think about somebody that does brain surgery or heart surgery, it's almost unfathomable to lay people. But you have to understand that that person went through years of training, and then even after they received their medical degree, as an intern, they worked with a team of very experienced physicians and surgeons. And every day they would go into work and be in the operating room working with them. And they would take their hand one day and just say, here's the scalpel, and with their hand on their hand, show them where to cut. And that's it, just that much. And they didn't do the whole operation, but each day they did a little bit more. And over a period of years, it became as natural to them as anything that you do. And see, that's how someone becomes a professional and an expert and a pro, simply by practicing. But as we practice, we start to make money. And we get better and better and better at it. And we practice the various techniques. We practice the answer to what is it. We practice our two-minute commercial. We practice the evaluation technique. We practice the referral technique. We practice the qualifying interview. So we start to have several different tools in our tool bag, several different techniques. But the most important technique of all that someone needs to learn in the beginning is what I call the evaluation technique. And this is the technique, probably the only technique, that I recommend to brand new people when they're going to have their first meeting or when they're doing a trial run. And the reason is that I know that not everybody is ready to do this business and not everybody's right for this business. But one thing that I know is that everybody knows two people who are ready to do this. Everyone that you talk to, that you get to evaluate this business, knows two executive coordinators right now. They may not be right for it. They may not be ready to do it, but they'll always lead you to someone if you can shift your thinking from trying to get people to trying to get people to evaluate it. And another reason this is so critically important for new people is they're a little bit apprehensive or resistant or uneasy about talking to people that they love or respect or that they know when they're trying to get them into the business. They don't want to impose on the relationship. They don't want to put those people out. They don't want to be pushy. So you see, this eliminates that fear or that anxiety for a new person, because we're not going to try to get anybody in that they know. They're simply going to ask them for help by evaluating this, because they may know the right people. And I already know that everybody does know two people that would be an executive coordinator right now. They know some entrepreneurs. They know people that have been in other MLM or network marketing ventures. They know people that have been in direct sales. They know well-connected people that may know the right people. They know ambitious people. So you see, my whole focus is not to get them in, but to get them to lead you to the right people. So when I'm dealing with a new person, I want them to be very clear on this and very focused on this and to really master the evaluation technique. that we're not trying to get anybody in. We're not going to impose on any relationships. But you want to talk to people that know a lot of people, that are respected, that are well-connected, that have some authority, that have some responsibility, because people listen to them and they know everybody. And we're not trying to get them in. We simply want them to evaluate what we're doing because they may know the right people, in which case it may create an opportunity for them. So the evaluation technique is something that you must know and use in order to successfully work the ABC pattern, which is how we will develop a group, and we'll learn about that in a minute. So let's talk about the evaluation method. We can use the evaluation method when we're doing two-on-ones. We can use it when we're doing three-way calls. All we're trying to do is get somebody to evaluate it. We can use it in video recruiting. Hey, I want you to evaluate this. Let me watch this video with you. We can do it with the one-on-one presentation book. As I'm going through that, I just want people to evaluate it. We can do it in meetings in their home. We can apply it to bringing people to the second look. We can apply it to the kitchen table presentation. I'm going to get people to evaluate it in all these various ways: two-on-ones, three-way calls, video recruiting, one-on-one presentation book, meeting in their home, bringing people to the second look, and a kitchen table presentation. But the whole focus of making that happen is using the evaluation approach. And in the beginning, the best approach is simply to tell people that you found a gold mine or an unbelievable opportunity, and that you have the connections. Emphasize the fact that you have the connections. Don't act like you're the person that knows it all, or that created it, or that running it, because that's going to put you in the position to have to answer a lot of questions. But you have the connections, and you have the opportunity to identify two key people to help organize it or to help manage the growth. And you'd like them to evaluate it because they may know the right people. They may or may not be interested themselves, but if nothing else, you're sure that they'll be able to help you out by identifying some of the right people. And a nice little line to add to that, which really clinches it, is that, look, I realize you're not going to give me any names or referrals without knowing more about it. That's why we have to get together. I want to show it to you. So in the evaluation process, which is really the best technique, we emphasize connections, that you have the connections, and that you want them to evaluate it with you, and that they might know the right people. And it could be mutually profitable. See, put some incentive into it for them. Put a little lure out there. It could be mutually profitable if you can identify some people that would be good at this. And then get them to meet the pro. Don't build yourself up. Don't make it about you. People believe more in success stories and other people than they do in ideas or concepts or you. So build up the person that's going to be showing the plan, or that your sponsor or your upline or the person doing the second look or the kickoff. And build up the fact that you have the connections and the tie-in, and sell and rely on someone else, an upline, a sponsor, or a leader in Market America to do your work for you and your convincing for you, and build their credibility so that it adds credibility to what you want to show them. People believe more in people than they do in ideas. And you need to understand that this is all about investigating, not getting. Too many people are focused on, I got to get somebody in. I'm going to get this person in. And they can sense it right away. And no one wants to be gotten. You see, what we have to do is change our focus to investigating, screening. Let them lead you to the people. They'll accidentally get interested anyway when they lead you to someone. I only have one close. When I work with someone to evaluate it, to lead to some people to evaluate it that may know the right people, when there's people that are interested from that process that either want to buy the product, that want to have a meeting, or just want to do a trial run, or are going to give me some referrals, it eventually leads to someone who wants to try it. And then I go back to them and I only have one close. Who's going to sponsor them, you or me? And automatically they become interested because other people became interested. It's a simple shift in focus. Now, one technique that works very, very well after you've mastered the evaluation technique, and Keith Doyle is one of the masters of this, is when someone asks you, well, what do you do, or what's it about? You simply answer, do you know how, and fill in the theme that you love about the business, or the thing that you love about the business, whether it be being able to build a residual income, whether it be how franchising costs too much money, but most people would love to have one. And then, well, what I do is show people how, without investing any money, to develop a residual income. Or what I do is show people how to get into unfranchised where they don't have to invest a lot of money and pay monthly royalties in order to have a franchise. It's even better than one. Now, the next line is, if I can show you how to do that, or if I can show you how to accomplish that, would you listen to a 28-minute tape? And then we can get together if it's something you're interested in. It works like a charm, and it's a beautiful tie-down. But after all of this, it comes down to fundamentally, if someone believes in the business, it's going to be impossible to recruit. So it brings it right back to number one of the basic five, developing the right attitude and acquiring the necessary knowledge so that someone has confidence and belief. Think about this. This is the road to being a hopeless success. If you're coming to the seminars, if you're listening to tapes, associating with positive people, if you're doing the essential elements of number one of the basic five, and if you have a goal, then number two of the basic five, and if you're beginning to retail so that you believe in the products and you know that the products do what they say, you have the belief and knowledge which makes it impossible not to prospect, recruit, and sponsor. Because as you go down the path of life and the path in the business, your belief and knowledge empower you. And in your daily and weekly routine, I mean, it's impossible not to run into people, okay? As you go around doing your chores or your errands or your daily routine or your week routine, you meet and see people all the time. And they're the same people. They're at the same location. They're not going anywhere. And they can only talk about three things. And we don't need to get them the first time. As they talk about the three things, they become interested or curious. They go on our possibility list. And as we cultivate those relationships and build the interest with those possibilities, it leads to our top 10 list. And our top 10 list are the people that we're going to show the plan to. So it's impossible not to start to get recruited. So how do we end up sponsoring hopeless successes, which is the last phase of the prospecting, recruiting, sponsoring process? Now that we have a top 10 list and people that are interested, we can use video recruiting, or we can do one-on-ones, or we can do two-on-one meetings, but we're going to show them the plan. Even if you're inviting them to a house meeting of your own or bring them to a meeting, we're going to show the plan to the people that are interested. Now, when we show them the plan, there's only one thing that has to be decided. That is, do they want the 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan? No one understands a plan the first time anyway. It usually takes about three times before they really understand it. They're basically confused. They may be a little enamored. They may be a little apprehensive. They may be excited but confused. But they don't really understand it. But the one thing that they have to understand is that this is the pathway to achieving a plan for their own financial success through the 2 to 3 year plan versus the 45-year plan. And they have acknowledged that the 45-year plan isn't going to get them what they want, and that they prefer the 2 to 3 year plan. That's the only decision that needs to be made. And if that be the case, the only real question is, will it work for them? And are they the right person for us? So there's no decisions to make if they chose a 2 to 3 year plan. By showing the plan, it only comes down to a matter of doing a trial run. Now, it's important, if we're going to do a trial run, we adjust the type of trial run we begin with somebody so that they'll lead to the people that will do kickoffs and they'll do meetings and they'll get into the business. It'll become a go now, because my whole methodology is simply to get people to lead to the right people. Each person is a conduit or a pathway or a doorway or a window to the right people. And they're the benefactor of that. I'm not using them in a negative sense, okay? They're the benefactor of that. They're the ones that will have the opportunity to benefit by also getting into the business and developing an income. Water seeks its own level, so do people. If I try to get a person to begin on a level that they're not comfortable with, they'll never lead me to the right people, and it won't work anyway. And I only have one objective, to get me to lead to the right people. Now, it would be beautiful if everybody we showed the plan to was ready to do a kickoff right away. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have people to do kickoffs with because they don't have the right people. So sometimes we have to beat the bushes a little bit. We have to get down in the trenches and dig a little bit to find the right people. And I know that it's much easier to be led to the right people through people than it is to go out and find everybody cold. So when I have somebody that selects a 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan, there's only one thing to do, and that's to test market it or do a trial run. So now I'm going to adjust my rheostat or my selector dial to the type of trial run that's most likely to get them to leave me someone. Now, if someone is kind of squeamish about this and have preconceived notions and not really ready to do it, they're not going to do a kickoff. They're not going to do a kickoff, but they might give me referrals. All I want is their names, and they may notify that person that I'm going to call. They may get on the phone with me, or they just might give me the name. Now, the second highest setting on my rheostat, my trial run rheostat or dial, is they may let me go see some people with them. As we talk about it, they tell me some people that might be right for this or may know the right people, and we just go see them together. The next level may be video recruiting, where I give them some videos and some Lead the Parade tapes that they pass out, and they go see some people and show the video. The next level may be a little kitchen table presentation, just around their kitchen table, you know, where we're going to just informally show it to a few neighbors or a few friends. And the next level may be a little house meeting, where they just have, you know, a handful of people in their living room. And finally is the kickoff. But think about it. If I try to get people to do something they're not ready to do, they usually don't do it well either. Or they fail, or they have a no-show, or they disappear. But when I adjust it to the level that they're comfortable with, they lead me to the people, and they eventually do kickoffs. So this is my methodology of getting everybody to start doing trial runs in the ABC pattern. And whether they go on and build the business or not, they almost always lead me to the people who do. And they always have the opportunity to benefit from it by being involved. But if you really understand this process, the whole key to it is the 2 to 3 year plan versus a 45-year plan. There's really no decision to make. As I'm doing the prospecting process and developing possibilities, which leads me to recruiting, and then I show the plan, we move into the sponsoring phase almost automatically by getting them to select the 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan. And that's the most important part of the plan. See, there's really nothing else to understand, and it doesn't matter if they understand it all. It's really about whether they want the 2 to 3 year plan versus the 45-year plan. So I'm not going to go on unless they select the 2 to 3 year plan. And if it's somebody that's successful, you don't need to feel awkward like you're talking down to them. Explain to them. Let me show you what the pitch is, what the angle here is. Here's what the statistics show. And I go through the statistics, the amazing fact. And I explain that, you know, the problem is that 95% of the people spend 45 years of their life making the other 5% successful because they're working a plan for somebody else's financial success. And even if they do become successful, they don't have control of their time. Now, let me show you what the real pitch is here, what the real angle here is, what gives us a competitive edge, what interests people in this. It's an alternative to the 45-year plan. The problem with the 45-year plan is they're working a plan for somebody else's financial success. We call this the Market America 2 to 3 year plan for your own financial success. And then I show them the alternative. Then I ask them, which do you think is better? Which would you prefer? And then I ask one more important question. Do you want me to show you how we get there, or how we develop this? Because I don't want to put you through what I've been put through numerous times, and that's to have to sit through something I'm not interested in. And I make them tell me that they want to learn how it works. So you see, they chose a 2 to 3 year plan. So that's the critical step. And if they chose a 2 to 3 year plan, there's no decision to make at the end. They already made the decision in the beginning. It's a matter of test marketing it. It's simply a matter of doing a trial run. And then they're automatically going to lead to the people. And because I make the business work for them in the trial run, there's really no decision to make. It's already working. It's simply a question of whether they want to sponsor those people or they want to let somebody else or me sponsor them. So they lead to the go-nows, and then we bring those people from their trial run meetings to the second looks to convince them. And then we move into the ABC pattern by booking a trial run for those people, and they become a hopeless success as a result. It's such a natural process, and I have it down to science. If you simply follow it, it'll work every time. But you need to understand, it's not about getting that one person in and then struggling over a decision and trying to get their check and sign them up. What does it mean if you sign them up? That doesn't mean anything. I want their dreams. I want their conviction. I want them to see the big picture. I want them to earn a check. I'm not interested in their check. I want to help them build the business. I want somebody that's going to be dedicated. So the focus is on making it work for them. And it doesn't really matter if they decide to do it, because through this methodology, they're going to lead me to the people. Remember, everybody knows two executive coordinators right now, and all you're doing is working through them to find the executive coordinators. They may, in the process, become one themselves. But everybody knows entrepreneurs, MLMers, networkers, direct sellers, well-connected people, ambitious people, okay? And what you want to do is get them to lead you to those people through doing a trial run. And this is what moves us into the sponsoring phase, you see? And what we're really doing in the trial run is we bring it down to a simple decision, or reduce all the things that needed to be decided down to one simple situation. Look, if this thing was going to work for you, if you knew you were going to make $2,100 a week, you'd want to do it. The real question is, will it work for you? If you knew that you were going to make $2,100 a week, there wouldn't be anything to think about. The real question for us is if you're the right person, because we can't work with everyone. So what I recommend that we do is what any successful entrepreneur would do, or any successful Fortune 500 company would do. They want to just dive into something if they saw a venture that had potential. First, they would test market it. So let's test market it. We're willing to commit to you to test market this over the next 30 to 90 days if you're coachable and if you'll cooperate. That's the commitment we need from you. And then using the valuation approach, where they're not trying to get people in, but they're just trying to get people to evaluate it, we show the program. And I tell them, by all means, don't you show it. You don't know how to show it. That would be hard, and you'd mess it up. Let us show it. And you'll get credit for anything that comes out of it. So we show the program to some people, to getting them to evaluate it. We determine if their contacts know the right people. And at the same time, we test market the product. So you see, the trial run where we test market it for the next 30 to 90 days actually determines whether they're right or not for the business. It gets them to lead to the right people, and they lead to some customers and some people who want to buy the product. And this trial run, therefore, accomplishes two beautiful things. And think about this. It determines if they're coachable and right for the business. Why would you want to sign anybody up or get their check just to have them quit later because they weren't coachable and they weren't right for the business? I tell people, there's no people in the kit. That's not what it's about. It's about you learning what to do. It's about you earning a check and building a successful unfranchise. So let's get this thing off the ground and see if the business is going to work for you, and to determine if you're the right person for us. So the two things that it does is it determines if they're coachable and right for the business, so you can determine whether you want to sponsor them. And secondly, it determines if the business works for them, so that they know it's something that they want to do and can dedicate themselves to and commit. Signing up then is never an issue. The money is never an issue. The business already works, and they're right for the business. So there's no decisions, you see, in this process. It's simply a matter of trying it. They made the decision when they chose a 2 to 3 year plan. And as a result of the trial run, because we have this thing down in absolute science, and if you're new and don't really know that yet, you need to go upline and hook into a team with your sponsor and the other people in your upline, up through the executive coordinator or master coordinator or professional coordinator, and through the ABC pattern, the trial run methodology, they'll help you get this business off the ground. And as a result, it works. So when they're doing that with you and your new people, it's automatically going to work for your new people, and they become a hopeless success. It wasn't about them deciding, getting in, and then going out and building it themselves. They really just got in the way. They were really just a material that we worked with, but they also were the benefactor of it. You were really doing it for yourself, and the upline was doing it for their own purposes of being successful. But in the process, the person that's doing the trial run leads to the right people and ends up benefiting from it. Then from all the trial runs and one-on-ones and little meetings going on, we all focus on bringing people to the second look. Because everyone that's out showing the plan, including yourself, including your downline, maybe even your upline isn't that experienced. It's not going to show it perfectly. But we don't need to be convincing. We don't need to show it perfectly. We just need to get people interested. And sometimes I joke, sometimes we just confuse them enough to have to come back to see it again and get their questions answered. But they did know one thing. They chose a 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan, and they do want to do a trial run. So we bring them to the second look. We don't invite them. We bring them. And we try to bring two people from these meetings to every second look. And now somebody who is more proficient at showing the plan, they can perfect the duplication. I mean, there might have been some dilution when the plan was shown by other people where they left things out or they didn't communicate it as well. But now we're putting on a dog and pony show with the most successful people in the business, and it's done professionally, and they see a professional product display, and they get to meet other successful unfranchised owners. This is where they get convinced. So anyone can start a trial run off and not be totally convincing or not be the very best at showing the plan and still become a hopeless success because we're bringing all those people to the second look. So don't worry about the plan being shown perfectly.
This concludes this portion of the program. To continue, please insert the next CD.